in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Johnson. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh man, what a calm song. Like how calm of an episode it was, guys.
It is true.
Fitting, quite fitting.
It's peaceful. It's serene, like a field of flowers.
It's not really going anywhere.
Yeah. Anyway.
Oh, maybe. Maybe a little at the end.
Oh, there it is. We're exciting.
All right, cut it.
Kill the music.
We're done with the music.
Guys, welcome to the show. This is the AfterBuzz TV Walking Dead After Show. I'm your host, Ben Bateman, joined by a lovely group of panelists. Our panel got a little mixed up this week. We have a bunch
of
new faces. We have a special guest. Introduce yourself, guys.
My name is Quinn Skillion, and you can follow me on Twitter at Quinn Skillion.
Hello, I'm Sean Nategi. You can find me at Sean Nategi, SeanNategi.
And I am John Carl, at The John Carl on Twitter, and on YouTube at Whiskey and Waffles.
It's such a good, every time you say
it, it feels
so
good
jealous.
Saying
I
it.
Don't have that, Whiskey and Waffles.
I'll bring them next week.
Okay, yeah, please, yeah. Thank you. So this is an exciting panel. We're excited to be here. The episode was calm. What did you guys think?
Like 20 minutes in, I was like, I'm bored.
Yeah,
felt like they took the whole show to communicate something that could have been condensed into 20 minutes tops.
Right.
You know, like the payoff at the end. I'm a huge fan of the show, but the payoff for what we were doing, I was like, really?
I just kept being like, we get it. Rabbit's foot, we get it. Aikido, we get it.
Yeah.
Cucumbers, I get it.
Right, yeah, there's like a lot of stereotypes.
Wait, you focused on the cucumbers?
The cucumbers play like a serious role in this episode.
They were like going for like a really distinct stereotype with this character, mm-hmm. and it was funny, and it was funny, and then it was like, okay, I get it. There's a few sad.
I mean, I do love John Carroll Lynch, so I feel
like if we
were going to have a whole episode, it was mainly him. It was his episode. And so, like, we're going to have to focus on one character, on one actor for 90 minutes. I'm okay that it was him. He's pretty great.
It's very good.
I love that he was dressed like my dad at my soccer games.
Completely.
I thought that was really great. Complete turnaround from his character in American Horror Story Freak Show, which was cool.
Yeah. Just a subtle difference, yeah.
Just a really subtle difference. Yeah, you have to have, like, a keen eye to be able to pick up on it. But so that's good.
So before we jump totally into Eastman, because we'll get there just a second, the episode is Season 6, Episode 4, titled Here Is Not Here, a phrase that Morgan is muttering to himself pretty much throughout the episode. Definitely a departure from last week's episode, obviously. We were left with a kind of a cliffhanger last week. And I think we were all probably a little bit disappointed that we didn't get either of the cliffhangers answered, right?
I agree.
I
think most people were pretty much ready to jump right back in, which is why they were like,
Especially considering 90 minutes. That's the other part of it. But before we get all into that, I just want to point out really quickly. So I got crucified on Twitter last week.
That's an understatement.
Mean, not crucified, but like I got a lot of criticism on the show last week for referencing
crucified
the comic book.
Crucified is an understatement.
I mean, I will outright say that I'm new to this panel, so I am sorry for referencing the comic book deliberately with one comment that was very specific to something that happened in the comic a long time ago, like 8 years ago. I won't do it again. I'll be more vague in the future. I am sorry for anyone who's upset by it. I will say that in the comments, those of you that addressed me in a respectful way, I totally appreciated that, and I will take it to heart. And the ones that were not so respectful, well, you got my attention, but and I guess I'll take it to heart. So that's what we're going to do going forward. I will, if I'm going to ever reference the comic again, I will say spoiler alert beforehand and like clap my hands really loudly or something.
We should just say that until the end of the episode, probably.
That's just
a safe spot.
Like, those of you can exit out your YouTube window now.
Yes.
We actually do have a sound cue for that if you need it.
Spoiler alert.
Can I hear it?
This is not an actual spoiler.
This is not an actual spoiler, just a test of the sound.
Spoiler alert!
Ooh,
there we go.
I like.
Spoiler alert!
I'm gonna come spoiler up with stuff alert. To say just so we can
they even
hear.
Have a lighting treatment for us. Also, for those of you who are following with us live right now, it's hashtag ABTVTWD.
There you go.
So I have the Twitter window open, and we'll be responding live with anybody who wants to talk with us on Twitter.
Excellent.
Awesome.
So yeah, let's get right into it. I think we should start with Morgan, as this is the Morgan episode. Did you guys have any idea that we were going to be getting 90 minutes of just backstory? Like,
No, but I did, and you know, we'll get to it, but right off the bat, I already had a prediction of who he was going to be talking to, just right off the bat. It was kind of, you know, who would he be encountering before he gets back in touch with Rick and, you know, all the people that were outside the walls.
Also, he referenced like the exact conversation that we saw him have at the end of last season, yeah. Like the by the fire and everything, so it was like pretty obvious.
Yeah, definitely. My feeling was that this to me feels a little bit like I'm being taken advantage of by a show that knows it's the most popular show on TV.
Yeah.
So they're kind of like, if we want to give you 90 minutes and we want to give you backstory on a character that's going to be important and we want to give you a monologue from a character about a dead character from a character who will likely be dead by the end of the episode, we can do that too.
I wonder, like, who in the writer's room was like, this is so important, this is important to me, I have to get this story out there. Because Morgan as a character was someone who was out of the show for a couple seasons. We didn't see him. You know what I mean? So for us, if we never saw Morgan again, I think that would have been, like, a little no harm, no foul. Like, we would have gotten, it would have been a bummer, but we would have gotten over it.
Right.
And now, to ask us to spend so much time on Morgan, who a character for me could have easily not come back and it wouldn't have been a problem, it was a tall order.
Definitely. I mean, do we think that there's a possibility that the reason they're spending so much time establishing Morgan as, like, a strong male lead on the show is that they want him to come in and fill some of the space if Rick was to take a backseat a little bit?
He could have filled it without... I mean, yeah, maybe.
Do you think so? What do you guys think?
I think they're just further justifying the fact that he is taking the super pacifist route,
right.
Which is going to, as we talked about in previous episodes, going to put him in so much conflict with Rick. Like, you know, even two episodes ago with the encounter with the wolf that happened in the house, you know, I made the prediction that he didn't actually kill him.
Right.
It's like, you know, yes, he took the swing, but it was one of those, if it's not shown, I don't fully believe it. And that goes to say with a lot of things on this show. So, you know, he's going to hold strong on this. Every life matters. Every life is valuable. And I think this is just, we're going to hit you so over the head with it that you're going to understand that when Rick and Morgan finally come to blows with each other, you're going to know exactly why, as opposed to thinking something happened and speculating on what happened.
He's right. Really out-Ricking season one Rick. The altruistic Rick that I started out with, you know what I mean? Like, Morgan's like that times 10 now. And Rick is, you know, he's full Shane at this point, even more so.
Well, it's pretty interesting, too, because obviously you see the transition that happens with, like, any of, like, the main characters in the show. They all have to go through sort of the same process of, like, okay, like, the right thing, we should save people, and we should be cautious with life, and then it's like, oh, they're just going to kill me if I don't. So that seems to be the process that all the characters go through. And even the characters in Fear the Walking Dead, to some degree, you can start to see them going through it, too, because obviously it's the beginning. It's interesting to see Morgan now, that's so far into the show, and he's still, I guess it's like an advanced or like an evolved version of that attitude, but he still kind of just has that attitude. And unfortunately, it feels really naive. Like, if I get it. I get the Aikido approach. I totally get that. It doesn't change the fact.
The problem is, we've been trained as an audience to know that if you're going to take the nice guy, if you're going to let someone live, you're probably going to get killed for it.
You're gonna get got.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Well, it was the last episode, though. I think first of all, I was a huge fan of Morgan. I think a lot of people fell in love with him from the first season. I mean, he just, when you saw him on screen, he was so magnetic that's why when he popped up later, everyone's like, yes, yes. And which is maybe why they thought they could write so long about him. But I feel like we love him, but we love the show more. And what they showed about him was kind of unnecessary. But this last episode where, you know, Carol became one of the wolves and she kind of disguised herself, which is, by the way, really cool.
Yeah.
A lot of people maybe were pissed. Like, come on, man. Like, you know, why wouldn't you kill them? Like, it's do or die. Whatever you're thinking, people are dying all around us right now, so do it. So I feel like they're trying to justify that reason. Like, how strong of a reason could you possibly have to do that? But I just don't agree that we needed that long
to get that. I don't mind the justification at all. I think that's great. I think 90 minutes is crazy. And I do think, we were talking earlier about how this information was literally spoon-fed to us.
Yeah.
I didn't need to see the rabbit foot change hands. I didn't need, you know what I mean? I didn't need all that little detail. I would have preferred if, you know, the writers were treating me like I was a little bit smarter and connecting all those dots myself. That was my problem, is the way they did the episode and not that they did the episode.
Yeah, like, do you guys think that it's possible that we could have had one of those things that they do on the show where, like, maybe Morgan's part of the current narrative with another character, and maybe they're out on a run, and they're... Maybe it's he and Rick, and they're doing, like, sort of flashbacks, like, concurrently with what's happening on the show during that episode, where you're seeing Rick act one way in a situation and Morgan act another way in that situation.
We could have had all three storylines of, like...
Yeah, that like, probably would have been much.
What's the name of the community?
Alexandria,
like, falling and all that happening, and then a flashback. I'd have been like, where are we?
No, not, like, necessarily this episode. I'm just saying, like, if we wanted to get that much Morgan backstory, couldn't they have given it to us in a way that didn't feel so intrusive to the story? It's like, that felt so intrusive to the narrative we're in the middle of. Like, there was so much happening last episode... I think we all wanted to know a little bit, and they just were like, this is a mid-season break, basically, and if you like this show enough, you're going to watch 90 minutes of Morgan.
They literally were planting. I thought in my head as a joke, like, well, there's nothing more exciting than watching someone plant plants or whatever they were doing over there, which... Mm-hmm.
The garden, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. While I think that this episode was too long, I would have been okay with it, I think, at just a normal 60 minutes. Yeah. I felt like they had so much stuff that they wanted to put into it, and they're like, well, it's easier to do a 90-minute episode than cram it in, but it didn't feel as packed as it should have been in my mind, honestly.
Yeah, I would like to hear, like, if from the fans or from writers or whatever, if anybody disagrees and thinks that, like, this was totally necessary, and, like, why? You know what
right.
I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious.
So, do we think when we meet a character like Eastman, because it's in a flashback, I think we all kind of... I felt like he was going to die immediately. Like, this is going to be a wrapped-up story, and he's not going to make it to the end of the episode. He's going to serve a purpose. He's going to prove a point. Are you okay getting... When you know that that's... You're going to get a character for a total of one episode, and you know that they're just going to be there to sort of, like, further the means of a character you're supposed to respect later on.
No, well, I don't mind.
While we were watching it, we were kind of debating, was this going to be the full episode, or was it going to be a 50-50 of... half of this happens in the past, and then it cuts to the second half of the episode being in real time. And I think once we got to the point where, you know, it was like that 40-minute mark, and there was nothing that was dangerous happening, and Morgan hadn't fully developed into new Morgan right now, I think we were all like, oh, okay, cool. He's going to die at, like, you know, the hour and 15-minute mark or something along those lines. So,
right.
I don't mind bringing a character in just to die, though. If it accomplishes something from a story perspective, and I think it was...
And it's the nature of the show.
Yeah, he had to die for Morgan to make that turn. Because as you saw, like, you know, skipping ahead a little bit towards the end of the episode, you know, even after he got bit, Morgan still hadn't fully changed over. It took another small incident after that for him to switch over to new Morgan.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, he almost reverted. I do like some of the writing that they give us with, like, sort of the smarter stuff where he's talking and he's like, you know, I was going to be vegan, but I'm vegetarian. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking, you're like, you work outside all the time, you eat vegetables all the time, and you seem like kind of like an out of shape guy. And he's like, but I'm not going to give up this candy.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, okay, I get it. Like, you're poking fun at us, you know, like... Stuff like that just makes me laugh sometimes because I think they would write a line like that and they'd be like, well, the audience is going to ask that question. That's going to be the first thing that comes to mind if he eats carrots. How is this guy
and
not just like skin and bones?
He couldn't even get the milk to switch over to cheese. Yeah. So it's like, you're not even getting like the dairy to add on
anyway. Yeah, protein. Yeah, we're
exactly.
A bunch of protein source.
Yeah, I do love stuff like that. On the other hand, there was a couple little things that I was a little bit like, about. Like, the zipper Morgan was using to, like, chip away at the wood.
Yeah.
I didn't really buy it.
He didn't think the zipper would have held together.
No.
He was very determined.
Yeah. When we get done with the episode, we'll go up to one of the windows outside and see if we can chip away at the bars here.
We'll do a Mythbusters episode. Actually, speaking of, listen, I do martial arts myself.
Okay.
And I do multiple martial arts. I do, like, 11 different things. So,
oh, wow.
You know, anything you would see in MMA, plus, like, Shaolin, Shin Na, Kali Eskrima, Jeet Kune Do philosophy.
I don't even know those words.
I made them up, including boxing, you know, jiu-jitsu, Japanese jiu-jitsu, all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, the thing that personally that bugged me was when Morgan was standing, it was freezing, and Eastman got bitten.
Yeah.
Because of the staff. Without the staff, I would say, okay, it's hard to cover that distance, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But when he was able to reach his shoulder or even get in that kind of... Look, what was the first form? This with a forward movement, right?
Right.
Over the shoulder to at least hit the walker in the chest, not even in the face.
Just to push him back.
Just to move him back. You don't have to kill him.
Yeah.
Just to get him out of harm's way is extremely feasible. For me, I was like, come on. I was like, you could... And he's taller, way taller than Morgan. I was like, physically, you could have easily done one jab, which is the split second. A martial arts guy is never going to go, here's my back.
You know what I mean? And Akito, sure. You never give your neck, you know what I mean? So that bugged me.
Yeah, I get that. Maybe it was just like a...
It was in the writing. I was like, well, you have to get bit. But he could have maybe gotten bit. Maybe.
Yeah, I'm sure there was another way they could have done it. Did you guys think when the episode started, you know, Morgan killed those two people?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I was like, he didn't get their brains. Did you guys think about that at all?
I did on the guy they choked out. The other one... Because of the angle of it, I was like, maybe he got the spinal cord or something like that one. But I did absolutely notice that the first guy that he choked out, mm-hmm. it's like, oh, he didn't like whack it or stab it or anything like that after the fact. I thought
that was really interesting of him. Like, not very good clearing, hun.
No. But at the we do have one comment online which relates to the beginning. Somebody was talking about the fire zombie was the best part of the episode.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And that I do agree with.
Yeah, that was nice.
The fire zombie was amazing. I still like...
One of my favorite parts about The Walking Dead is like learning about the walkers kind of like how they work and stuff like that. So anytime we get like little information, like I remember like when the characters learned that noise is a good way to control them and stuff like that. So and then like you know the fire and everything and just always kind of like one more little thing about how they are.
On top of that, I do want to throw out one anecdote. At the Walking Dead Escape 2 years ago at San Diego Comic-Con, I was going through it with a bunch of the guys from Smosh Games and The Warp Zone and all these different YouTube channels. And we got to one point where we were all kind of cornered. And they actually instruct the walkers, the people who are playing the walkers, that they have to follow the same rules as the show. So I started banging on one of the metal like pull-down windows from inside the baseball park, and they actually followed towards it. And everybody ran around the side, and then they started banging, and then they switched sides, and I ran around the other side. So it was really cool to actually see it in motion, in person.
That's fun.
Yeah. And then one of the actors kept yelling at us to shut the F up, which was pretty fun too.
Well, I'm excited to see that parade. I'm sure we're going to get the parade next week.
Do we have opinions on the stuff that Morgan was? So I think Pointless Acts refers to saving people because they're all going to turn. He kind of explicitly explains that.
Yep, they were going
to
die anyway.
And then Here Is Not Here, the name of the episode, is what Eastman explains, right? Where he's, you lost your wife and you keep seeing it, so you're imagining you're not here. But when he kept saying 16 hours and 19 on the floor, did you guys have any idea what he's getting at?
I meant to look that up before we started, but we were running behind on watching, so I didn't look that up.
Put it in the comments, guys.
16 hours and 19 on the floor. I was trying to figure out what he might mean by that.
I was guessing, and again, I don't even know if it's close, but I'm wondering if it's a reference to what happened with his son. I don't know if they were in a situation where he kept... Because it looked like he kept giving instructions to his son that his son did not fulfill, which is why he died. He kept saying what he was supposed to do.
You had the gun. You had the you had the knife.
And he froze is what I'm assuming, because I think that he might have referenced that. His son froze and then basically did not do... He's like, you know what it is what it is, or you know what he had to do. And he didn't do it, and maybe that was the instruction prior, which is like... This is how long or whatever, how long you've been here, and this is the floor that's going
to
be on. I have no idea.
You know what, though? I'm happy to not know. I'm happy that it's better not to know.
Sometimes, one but thing. I would ask the control room if one of you guys could Google that for us.
16 hours. And Vic, if we can know, it would be definitely
just to see
awesome.
If we're just missing something. So. Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, like, he's supposed to be insane. I don't think every single... they're going
to what was the phrase again?
16 hours and 19 on the floor.
Yep.
But I'm just,
all right, continue. I'll get back.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
I don't even remember what I was saying. Moving on.
Okay, so I guess that covers, well, to some degree, that covers Morgan, that covers Eastman. So the part of the story where Morgan comes around and Eastman starts to tell his story.
Well, let's talk about how he came around in the beginning, because he did not want to come around at the start. And he actually had the opportunity where Eastman says you can either walk out or you could stay on the couch. And Morgan, of course, chose the third option, which was...
Kill him.
Try to kill Eastman, yeah.
Yeah, where, you know, he had no reason to, other than he was just stuck in that mentality of, I have to clear everything, because if I don't clear everything, this living person is going to come back and try to kill me, which the irony is, later on, the person that he did kill is who ends up biting Eastman. So,
right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I guess I knew... You know, because you see Morgan later, that he is eventually going to come around. You can tell from the beginning he's right. He's because he says early in the episode, I learned how to fight like this from a cheesemaker when he shows up to Alexandria.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
In like the first episode or the second episode.
Yep.
So you know that they're going to become friends. My question is like, when it gets to the part where Eastman is telling him his long-winded story about the serial killer that killed his family and that whole thing, I thought it was actually a good story and a great performance by the actor, too.
Yeah.
Like I actually thought he did a great job in the episode.
Yeah,
I like that
awesome.
Actor. I've seen him in a lot of stuff. But I found myself getting a little distracted. Like, this is a long-winded story from a character that is likely going to die about another character we're never going to meet.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, was sort of like, I get it, but
Google's got nothing. Something interesting that you know about Eastman is that he built the cell as a way to torture this guy, Crichton, whatever, and then he ended up using the cell to kind of rehab Morgan. Mm-hmm. So I think that was kind of supposed to be, you know, it was just kind of supposed to show his arc, you know, kind of where he's come with us all, this like Aikido, you know, whatever.
I'm just curious, did any fans comment on whether this bothered them at all? I'm just curious from their standpoint, you know, if anyone wants to give feedback.
No,
if you guys felt it was slow at all, I'm curious if you felt like it was kind of too much.
But that's the thing, is that, like, you know, the we had a crazy first three episodes,
I think. Yeah, it's true.
We had packed. I mean, just packed. And so now you've got all these viewers who are so geeked up, you know, want to see what happened to Glenn, want to see what's going on with all of the walkers taking over Alexandria, the wolves, you know, everything that's going on. And so the most dramatic thing the writers could have done was to race you guys to a speeding halt. And now that's what would happen. We kind of just, like, we all hit, like, an invisible wall.
Yeah, it's true. And I mean, as you were saying beforehand, there were some of these like bottle episodes in previous seasons where you got just a story of somebody else and what they had gone through. And they didn't bother me. I mean, I was okay with them for the most part.
Yeah, like Tara's, I thought hers was really well done.
Yeah.
Back in the prison season.
Totally. Yeah. And this was just longer. So I suppose it is okay. I was thinking that, you know, in this new world that they all live in, like you look at value, like what people have as value, because obviously there's no more currency. And I was thinking about Eastman and a character like that, and if you've been in the world and you've had to kill and you've had to survive and everything, this sort of live off the land, I'm going to take you at face value, I'm going to be patient with you, that comes from his experience as a counselor of hopefully rehabilitated criminals. I was thinking that's like an incredibly valuable skill to have. Like that's like in the new world, people like that who are so level-headed and are like patient like that would be, and are strong because he can fight, obviously. I don't know. I just was sort of imagining more and more as we move forward to like the new world of what's going to, I don't know, eventually happen.
But my biggest question is, in the current world, is that somebody who's really valuable yet? And I don't want to sound cynical on it, but is the current state of the world ready for the new world yet? Because I don't think it is. While the walkers are such a big issue, you still are in a kill or be killed mode.
Yeah.
Versus once the walker menace is finally taken care of, then people like him become valuable again. But in the meantime, where you're fending off walkers on one side, are you really going to have the time to try to rehabilitate people?
I think it's been really interesting finding out what skills have become like useful. Because, you know, you've got Glenn who was delivering pizzas and who has done fairly well throughout all of this. Ish. Yeah. What have you.
Remains to be seen.
And then you've got other people like Shane who seem to be rather well equipped to be able to handle something like this. So I think it's really, really interesting to see, you know, what kind of skills and what kind of personality traits either are useful or end up getting killed.
Well, you mentioned, you know, whether they're ready for this type of mentality in the new world. And I feel like Glenn actually applied it. I forgot the guy's name in the woods that tried to kill him.
Nicholas.
So when Nicholas tried to kill him, you know, it didn't work at first, you know, but eventually it actually made a good person out of him. Now it takes an incredible amount of patience, and under duress when there's people getting shot at, you just, how am I going to talk to you? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not going to work. But I feel like he might have been one that applied it successfully so far.
Well, because I think the difference is if you look at, say, the people that live in Alexandria, and a lot of them seem very weak because they have no real life experience in the new world.
They've never had to fight.
Yeah. Exactly. And they're patient. And Deanna's husband, whose throat got cut, whose name is escaping me, Thomas?
No, Red? No.
Reginald, was it?
Reg.
Damn it.
Reg.
Reg. So like Reg was that character. He was that patient, sort of like psychologist. I'm going to talk to you. I want to find out what makes you tick.
Yeah, the intellectual.
Yeah, but he couldn't take care of himself. So the difference between that, which is, I think I agree with you there, that's not a valuable character. That's somebody who's going to get people killed by being too patient versus Eastman, who's like, I'm going to be patient, but I'm not going to let you kill me. I'm going to be able to fight. I'm going to tell you to get off my property, and then it's over if you take it one step too far.
I was going to say, what do you think it says about Eastman that he chose to go at it alone and didn't look to find a group or a sanctuary or any kind of community?
I'd like to think that he hasn't come against nearly as much really bad conflict as a lot of the other characters. I think if he had, I don't think he could have survived with a staff and by himself in a house. I just don't think...
you have to make decisions eventually. In this type of world, like you were mentioning, when there's walkers, and there's also humans, bad humans, good humans, whatever... you got to make a decision now. And that split second, and in martial arts, is a very true thing. That split second of hesitation can cost you your life.
Well, because he didn't tell any stories about this last guy that came here that I rehabilitated, and he went on his way. And mm-hmm. he didn't
talk about anybody else ever coming there.
Yeah, which is a little fishy, to be honest, this far
Tabitha
out of the story,
was a bad goat, and he rehabilitated
Tabitha. Tabitha started out as a chicken, actually.
That doesn't bother you guys at all, that he just like lives in this beautiful house with, was the solar panels on the roof?
Yeah, those
right,
are panels.
Right, with the power. And
yeah.
And that nobody would just like come across it in a group.
Actually, it didn't bother me. I think, you know, my gut instinct, if something like this were to happen, it would be to find somewhere secluded. And a house in the woods, unless you have a clear-cut path to get there, I believe it's possible that nobody came across it. But he was encountering walkers, so it's not like he was totally by himself, but he just didn't have anybody living come across
him. But he wasn't encountering enough walkers to have to do, like, a bunch of sticks outside. Like, he had pretty, like, his only way to, like...
The cans.
Deal with the cans. Oh, I guess there was cans.
Which is kind of weak.
But still, that just means that it's just him hearing the cans and going out and taking care of the walker. So he's not having, like, you know, swarms coming. He doesn't have to have any other kind of, like, defense than that.
He must have been very secluded, though, because just cans, you know.
Yeah.
Because you saw sometimes there's swarms. Sometimes for some reason there's herds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yep. And if there was a herd, it would be a very different situation for him.
But he also suggests
at this point, herds are the only way that walkers are dangerous to us anymore. We can take on one walker, like,
right.
Like
except,
that.
Except for, who's the guy that is cheek bitten?
First
episode?
Yeah.
Through
Ethan Embry's,
the weakest walker ever that was restricted by a tree and still got him.
Right. I mean, I think he does suggest at the end of the episode, somebody as pleasant as me is not going to come along, so you should get out of here, which is sort of just suggesting, like, I'm realizing now how dangerous it actually could have been if you had been bad, I think.
Or a better shot.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But he wanted to leave, right?
He was talking about leaving.
Yeah.
He was saying, like, we're going somewhere. I don't know where. So I don't know if that was a plan he already had, or he had it once he had a second person.
Or maybe planning the journey is a way to kind of get Morgan to kind of, like, you have to get clear so we can go. Not clear. That was probably bad words.
Well, he said, I couldn't do it alone. And we still need more people.
Yeah.
So he was very clear that, like, he wanted to make the journey, but he was waiting for people to come across it.
Okay.
So to even start the journey, he needed somebody like a Morgan, and then as they were going, pick up more as they were going.
Sure.
Yeah. Did you guys like the moment when Morgan, so after Eastman gets bitten and he leaves him, and he references the line, "Here is not here," that then Morgan comes across the guy with the crutch and the girl who's, like, starving, and they give him a can of soup and a bullet.
Well, saves them, specifically.
He saves them. But, like...
Not on purpose. He did. He wasn't... He accidentally saved them.
Yeah.
I sort of thought about it, and I was like, I almost feel like he would have given them the soup and the bullet back. I was waiting for him to do that.
Yeah, me too.
That was the only little part of that was surprising to me. But no, he didn't.
Well, I think psychologically, I think he was shocked because he literally, like, you know, snarled at them or whatever, like, growled.
He was ready to go.
He was still in that mode. Mm-hmm. And then because of the fact they said thank you, he went, oh my gosh, like, oh, I see.
That was his turning point.
I thought
when she took her bag off, like, I don't know why, this was my first thought, I thought there was going to be, like, a puppy in her backpack.
Right. I thought it was going to be a baby, to be totally honest.
Yeah, I really did. Her being like, don't hurt me. Yeah, like, don't hurt me, look at what I have to protect, or something like that.
I totally thought that was going to happen, too. I thought it was a kid, you thought it was a puppy. Yours was probably more realistic.
Because you can't put a baby in a bag. You can put a puppy in there.
Yet again, that's why I'd be a bad parent.
Well, definitely a strong girl with no words.
Yeah.
She did seem scared. It was touching.
You know which part I liked is when he said, you're going to hold a baby again.
Yeah,
that was a good line.
Like, he is going to hold a baby again, because he held...
Carl?
Carl.
That would have been really awkward.
Judith in the premiere, Judith, in the pilot.
And he had that moment. You remember that moment where he kind of was, like, really receiving it, so...
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
could we talk about after Eastman has been bit and, you know, Tabitha dies, the death we all knew was coming, because goats can't survive in any TV show or movie.
Yeah.
Just bad things happen to them.
And also killing goats is, like, super symbolic of stuff.
It is symbolic.
I've heard. There's a book around where there's, like, symbolic stuff about goat's blood.
But when you get to the graveyard and you actually see, you know, the killer's grave.
Right.
And, it, did you guys see that coming? That guy was going to be there? He said the name twice really specifically.
Yeah.
And I was like, there's got to be some callback to it. There's no way they're going to focus on that name without seeing it.
I had a second of a thought that it disappeared very quickly, but that maybe this guy was Crichton, Dallas Wilton, and that he's actually a crazy person, and he was gonna.
Oh.
I don't. That it was like a 2 second thought. I swear to God, I didn't like linger on that.
That would have been like some real next level. Like we're taking this show on a total tire, like dun, just dun, dun.
I don't know.
Tangent.
I know. Yeah.
Somebody had a really interesting question in on Twitter, hashtag #ABTVTWD. How did the psychopath, meaning Crichton, survive 47 days without food?
Well, don't they say you can survive? What is it? You can survive 2 to 3 weeks without food,
right? That's like 14 to 21 days.
Yeah, so maybe like Eastman isn't like the best torture, and he was like giving him water.
I was gonna say that means he was giving him water because you can only survive like 10 days without water. So he's like, oh, you're gonna starve to death. But
yeah,
I'm still going
to
give you glasses of water.
Yeah,
that is weird, and I don't know medically how that could happen. But
it's a shame that Crichton Dallas Wilton didn't have a zipper.
Right. Yeah.
You're really against the zipper.
He did not like
so
it one
stupid.
Bit.
Stupid. Whatever.
Before we continue on the show, guys, I do want to remind everybody we are on iTunes, we are on YouTube, and we provide this content out of the kindness of our collective love of Walking Dead's hearts. And if you guys help us by giving us a rating or review on iTunes, it keeps the show going and it keeps the lights on, and we can't do the show in the dark. So please go to iTunes and give us a rating and review. Preferably a good one if you liked it, but if you didn't, just be honest. A review helps. And comment on YouTube and Twitter. As
subscribe
you
on YouTube, too.
Yes, subscribe on YouTube as well. Just wanted to throw that out there because I forgot to do it earlier. And, I suppose do you guys want to touch on what happens at the end of the episode with the wolf and with Rick?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or the voice of Rick that we hear for a second?
I thought it was, like, oddly calm.
Yeah. The wolf part first... You know, like I talked about, that was like one of those things where just because they did the off-camera hit on him, I knew that was the guy he was definitely going to be talking to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he starts doing the, oh, do you think that could work for me? And it was like, oh, he's definitely screwing with Morgan right now.
He's just crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking at that.
Like, there's that whole who's past the point of no return. And, and you know, the thing about Eastman was he talked about it was over 800 people, right, that he had worked with and rehabilitated. And he found one person that was truly evil. But again, that was all in the old world.
Yeah.
And in the old world, yes, I believe you can be rehabilitated. But in this world where everything is so far gone... that society's not set up to rehabilitate people.
Right.
Especially if you were a little weird to begin with. I mean? If you already kind of had like some weird psychopathic
tendencies. And we don't know anything really about the people who have become the wolves. Like, we don't know. Are these former prisoners? Are they, you know, mental, like, people? Like, there's so many... Were they junkies? Like, there are so many different routes this could have gone down.
They had that whole thing about, like, the wolves and, like, the Native Americans from... And I remember in the season finale of last year, they were talking about how people came to this land and like had to kill the wolves and stuff. I don't know. I'm waiting to see that come back around. That's all.
That guy kind of creeps me out. Like really creeps me out.
As he should.
And I mean, it's strong acting, but I also just get the feeling that if I was ever to like just happen to be at some party out here in Los Angeles and that guy was there and I was like looking across the room, I feel like I'd be just kind
of
freaked
out. You must go to so many star-studded like parties.
All of your
celeb events that you go to.
Never been to a party with any member of The Walking Dead. But what if he was in line at the grocery store next to you? Wouldn't you be like...
I mean, if his teeth looked like that and stuff, I just assume he was somebody who was homeless on Melrose and stuff. So,
yeah, right. He should just wear that all the time.
So was he cut and infected or was he bitten? I couldn't tell.
It looked like a cut.
Did look like a cut.
Yeah, because it was clean. It was a line.
Yeah, right.
The bite marks.
Yeah,
it
didn't look like a bite.
It had whiteness, so it was a little maybe infected or whatever. So eventually he's gonna get sick. But I just the fact, you know, again, maybe Morgan's way will work. But again, coming back to what you were saying, in the world we're in currently, we're not at the aftermath of it. We're like in the you know.
We haven't solved the Walker problem. Yet. That's the big problem.
So what's gonna happen with this guy?
I think it's important for us to see Morgan's way, kind of do well, and then you know, so we kind of go, oh yeah, maybe we should be thinking more passively, and then it's gonna blow up on everyone's faces, and we're gonna be like, no, kill.
The reason you know that it's not a bite is he's not already suffering from the sickness from it. Because there were no walkers nearby as this, you know, the attack was happening on Alexandria, and people start getting weaker and falling ill to the bite and the infection from the bite way, way quicker.
Yeah.
That thing looks like it's been infected for at least a little bit of time, and that's enough that, you know, if it was a bite, he would be dead or turning at that point, too.
This whole conversation happened post-Horn, right?
Yes. Okay. Because at the end of the episode, where he locks the door, that's where Rick is saying, open the gate, open the gate.
That
means the Horn's already been out for a while, and they pretty much cleared out the internal of Alexandria. But what we don't know is, You know, Rick and those guys, they dealt with a lot of the Horde, but how much of the leftover of that Horde is going to start trickling in against the walls at that point?
And so this means that what we saw last week at the end of the episode, that means that Rick somehow gets out of that predicament and finds his way back.
Yes.
And they're trying to give us the cliffhanger of how does that happen?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How does that happen?
Tune in next week to find out. But, okay, I will.
We won't get lucky.
But the big question, though, is Morgan made the mistake of letting that one guy take the gun two episodes ago. And that almost got Rick killed. By letting this wolf live, does it have a similar effect that actually takes it up to the next level where this guy turns or something along those lines or escapes and then actually kills one of the main characters?
I thought he was considering when he was walking out and he was looking at the keys. I thought
leaving
he was
it
just
unlocked.
Living it, yeah.
No, I thought he was considering going in and just killing the guy with the staff. Like, is this a mistake?
Oh, I thought he was going to try to pull an Eastman and do the unlock thing.
I thought that's exactly
for a half a second,
and
I was just going to start screaming.
No, mad.
They made it clear that he locked it, which I was happy because, like, a key in the lock, that could have been either way, and it kind of, like, didn't give. So I was like, okay, cool.
Well, it also helps that we watch it with closed captioning on, and it specifically is, like, locked
door.
The closed caption, by the way, was crazy today. Like, lots of misspelled words and, like, people saying things that nobody was saying. It was very bizarre. I don't know. We're probably the only ones who... That's not hashtag relatable, so I'm sorry.
So if the wolf is, like, giving the monologue to Morgan, then he's like, okay, but if you let me live, I'm going to have to kill you, Morgan, and I'm going to have to kill everyone here.
Including the kids,
just like Eastman's kids. Was he saying that because he wanted... Just like Morgan, he wanted Morgan to kill him? Or was he saying that because he... Like, what? Look, why was he being that?
I think that Morgan gave him, like, he gave him his weakness. Like, you know what I mean? And he, like... And so he could hit him right where it hurt.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Maybe so.
Well, I mean, one thing with the wolves is, like, when they've been captured, they just want to get killed at that point. That's, I don't know if it's a loss of respect for themselves or something like that, but it makes them less of what they are.
Right.
And if they've been captured, they've been neutered, so to speak, so they'd rather just be killed at that point.
What is their goal?
I think it seems like from what we've gathered from some of the things they've said, it's like, this place doesn't belong here. You should be free. We're here to free you. Like,
it's chaos.
It's chaos. I want everything.
This is like
have.
So purge.
Yeah, they're anarchists. That's what it seems like.
Yeah. Yeah, and it seems also from the on their forehead could just as easily be an A. You know. Anyway. so
it's like the Scarlet Letter.
Yeah. Right. So
that was an A.
Should we talk about what we think is going to happen? In the, like, well, two things. Because, okay, I know that we covered this last week. I know this. But all that anyone's talked about the last week is Glenn. And I think a lot of people are wondering how Rick's getting out of the situation.
I love all the middle finger memes that are popping up because of it. That's my favorite part.
Yeah.
And the one that was tonight, because they took that same meme about Steven Yeun. And it's like, oh, when you don't see his name in the opening credits, and it's that same, like, two pictures of him just flipping off the paparazzi and stuff like that. I love that.
So I want to know...
He gets so angry at everything.
What are our opinions? What are each of our opinions, like, yay or nay, is Glenn dead now in the chronology of the story?
Not dead, but we don't see him until the cliffhanger of the mid-season finale.
Okay. Sir?
Probably not dead. I don't know if we're ready to have him dead yet.
Okay.
I think just from, like, a story-writing standpoint... It doesn't make sense to have killed him that way. You don't kill a character with 15 minutes left in an episode. You just don't. You don't kill a character and have him be not even the A or B plot line of that story. That was like a C plot line story.
Well, you can do it with 15 minutes left, but that's when you put a bullet through Beth's head.
Right.
Okay, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Either way.
That was very definitive that she was gone.
Yeah, right.
No, she's gone back.
It's too unclear. From a story writing standpoint, it would be very bizarre for him to be dead. I just don't think he is.
Yeah. I think he's alive. Steppenwall did his little, like, wrap-up last week after the episode, and they're always pretty fast, but he made a great point, and he said there's three options. Option number one is that they were reminding us they can kill anyone they want, when they want, and no one's safe.
I don't mind that at all. I really don't.
And it doesn't have to be glorious, and it doesn't have to be dramatic. We can just kill him because we're going to kill him and remind you we can take anyone anytime.
Respectfully disagree with that point, though.
Well, he had three options. So that was number one. Number two is that Glenn is bitten, but the intestines actually belong to Nicholas. Mm-hmm. Glenn shimmies under the dumpster like people are assuming he did.
Yep.
He somehow manages to get back to Alexandria and has his goodbye, like, swan song moment with Maggie. That's option two. And then option three is that it's just totally we're just being gamed, and he just
died.
No, he doesn't even get bitten. He's just scared, and he banged his head, so he's a little terrified, and he shimmies under the trash can, gets out, and everything's fine. And I think option four, in my own personal opinion, would be I just had a total brain fart.
Are you going to... I'm just going to... Do we need to say spoiler? Do we need to say spoiler?
No.
You know, I got to say, I do appreciate a show, like you were saying about Option A, to just kill off anybody at any time. Because I was watching The Vampire Diaries for a long time, and they refused to kill anybody on that show. So at this point, I just appreciate that the... I appreciate the commitment.
Well, I appreciate the commitment and the ability to kill anybody at any point, because they have offed major characters, you know, at random parts of the season and stuff like that. But the death was more definitive. And that's the one issue I have. And there's no way to do a flashback to this death, because there was nobody else to come back and tell everybody else the story either. Nobody else saw Glenn get killed.
So, we can't get any information if Rick and the gang doesn't get any information?
That's my thought.
Well, so here's... So this is... I just remember what I was thinking. So
go for it. No, I was hoping you would remember.
Yeah, so, okay. There has been a suggestion in interviews with the showrunner, Scott Gimple, that... And, by the way, if anybody is like, I just want to watch the show, and I don't want to, like, know what you guys have heard, I'm just going to say spoiler right now. This is not a big spoiler, but just in case.
Spoiler alert.
He has suggested that this whole season takes place in one day.
Yes.
And not just one day, but 45 minutes. It's from the time that Carol sets the timer to the time the whatever she was cooking.
Pot roast. Casserole.
Yes.
Done.
Oh, the casserole.
Comes out. And so if that's the case, it could mean that Glenn gets bitten. Glenn somehow gets out. Glenn does make it back to Alexandria and gets his goodbye. And he is, in fact, dead or dying in the course of this season. But we're not going to know that until episode 16 or whatever it is.
They're going to hide that he... Got
yes.
bitten?
And that would be... So that's, like, one of the options. But, I mean... And I'm not going to touch on any of them. There are lots of theories that reference factual information that's out there.
You think that wouldn't happen?
I was just going to say that if you guys look into, you can find out what people think yourselves. And there's lots and lots of things that suggest that he could be. So look them up if you're interested.
Okay. I just don't think that would... We already have a wound that we're worried about on the show. So I don't think we'd get two.
Okay, what about Rick? His hand.
That's
what I'm saying.
That's the wound I'm talking about.
Oh, okay, okay.
That's what I'm saying. If we're already nervous about that, then I don't think we're going to have a secret bite from Glenn.
But the way you're saying it could be playing out, which is actually it's all in the span of a short period of time, but just extended. Which, by the way, if that's true, Morgan's story. How do you tell a story like that within 40 minutes or something?
Way quicker than you told it to us.
Yeah.
And he was like, and then something happened. Blah 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 blah. Anyway.
Yeah. There was this guy who made cheese, and it was Tabitha, and she died, and he died, and it's all good.
Yeah. Oh, also, there was like a lot of pausing and breathing that he would have left out.
No, he actually told it like the Micro Machines guy, where he just talks really, really fast and doesn't stop and doesn't take a breath and just keep going. And that's all.
20% rebate. Or whatever.
So I want to get into predictions here in just a second, but before we do, I should point out that our special guest, Mr. Natigi over here, is an actor and a Walking Dead super fan, which is why he's on the show, and you haven't seen him on AfterBuzz before as a host. And so I wanted to just ask you, sir, what do you have going on? Do you have a movie out right now? Is there something you have coming out soon? Can you tell us about it a little bit?
Yes. I'm actor, film producer. I have a film called Me, You, and $5 that's out right now. I can get it on iTunes, Amazon, I think Best Buy, On Demand. So just look up Me, You, and Five, spelled F-I-V-E, Bucks. It's like a New York love story dramedy that we shot in New York, and... I'll give you like a short of what the story is about. There's basically a writer. He's a waiter, and he's trying to sell this book that was called The 7 Steps of Healing the Male Broken Heart that he wrote when his ex left him 3 years before and just disappeared. He has no idea why. So while he's down on his luck, he puts an ad out on the paper because his roommate left and he needs a new roommate. Mm-hmm. And the first person to answer the ad is his ex that left years before. And at the same time, his book finally sells and becomes like a bestseller. So it's like the past meeting the present. And then I play his best friend, which is a slick kind of writer for the Manhattan Times that has it all. But
I get that from you.
Yeah.
You totally know that
kind of guy. But you know, but I'm
how Italian are you? Just so I have frame of reference.
Hey, forget about it. So Italian that I'm watching The Sopranos right now.
I'm half Italian too.
Are you really? Yeah. Okay.
It's all just like a Sopranos, there's a constant loop in your brain. Mm-hmm. That's why I like to assume I'm watching it right now.
Yeah, mix of Goodfellas and Casino in there too.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to reference something that I really liked. If you guys remember, like, this is old, but the Sopranos, there was a story about this Russian guy that was in in the woods, and they never talked about what happened with him.
Pine Barrens was the name of the episode.
Yes. Wow. Jeez.
I love that show.
Pulled that one right out of the hat.
That was the first episode of that show I ever watched, too.
Great episode. Great episode.
What I loved about it, though, was the ability to leave a lot of things out. You said you like when people let you kind of fill in the blanks, and I feel like in this episode they left so much in your face that I was like, you know, I enjoyed more than my brain has to engage.
Figure out how Morgan got to where we got to.
They could have given us a little less. Yeah,
agreed. Okay, that's awesome. So you have shot this and it's now available, or it's going to be soon available?
Came out in October, early October. It came out October 13th, so it just came out. I think you can find it on iTunes and stuff, or on demand, depending on where you're at.
I have a question for you.
Yeah.
How do you do anything in New York City with just $5?
$5 footlong subway, give me some money.
That's literally all you got right there.
Is it actually $5 or is it $5 plus tax?
Plus tax.
Then you're screwed.
Well, then your tax is screwed. Well, the me and $5 means basically between the two characters, the guy didn't have any money. So he said all we need is me, you, and $5, which means she wasn't about his money. It was about just me and you having a good time and just, you know, having the city and stuff. And the city is a big character. If you guys like New York City,
love New York,
you feel New York in it. I mean, we shot the thing, like, we got all the money shots, and we shot it in 14 days, an entire feature. And, I mean, you feel New York. We shot it, you know, in, like, November. And if you've been in New York, you'll feel it.
That's awesome.
Is Walking Dead your favorite show on TV?
Yeah.
Okay.
Of course.
This is going to be your platform, because we have a decent number of fans that watch the show. I have no idea if any of the creatives watch the show, but if you do, I love that you're watching the show. If this is your 22nd platform to get on the show, what are you going to say, man?
You know, I was going to say that you guys need a martial arts master, but then Morgan kind of filled the slot. But he's not a master. He's a master of the staff. But, you know, I would just love to be on the show. I'm from Atlanta. I went to high school in Atlanta, Forsyth County. So I have a lot of friends in the UGA. Okay. That's my place. But I could do a lot of the things that a lot of the things that the survivor could do to figure out in life, but maybe be more of a martial arts master, you know, because I do all these different things. And I would just love to be on the show. I really don't care where you put me. I just love the show.
Can I put my name in the ring also?
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys need anybody who's like mediocre at sports and like really good at Tumblr? I'm your girl.
That in the new Tumblr's world,
super super valuable in the new world.
That's a skill that I have that I could like bring to the
I don't even understand how to make Tumblr work. I've like looked at them and I'm like, this
I'll teach you.
You can't survive in the new world then.
Yeah, I'm screwed. Okay, let's get to predictions, guys. I want to see what you guys think is going to happen.
Your AfterBuzz TV predictions.
I'm going to get a seizure from those one day. I swear.
I was
usually
get
the
like,
UFO. I like feeling like I'm getting beamed up.
I know, and the spoiler music kind of overshadowed it this time.
No.
It was like a lot louder and more intense.
Because the spoiler alert is like, you got to run out of the room now.
Pay attention.
Yeah.
Your muffs.
Yeah, cool. I like didn't even drop any comic reference this time almost. I wanted to be like, spoiler alert, just
talking. You're growing, you're learning.
All right, sorry.
During the end credits, just keep talking about the comic at that point. No, it's fine. I'll go first.
Please.
I already kind of revealed one of my predictions, and that's this wolf that is still alive is going to cost somebody their life. I almost got that right with the wolf from two episodes ago.
Yeah.
But I really think it's going to keep escalating with Morgan making his judgment calls and... You know, maybe that's what puts him in direct conflict with Rick, too, where Rick is back, this wolf gets out, he freaks out at Morgan, why did you let this guy live when they tried to kill all of us? And that's where the true butting of heads between those two happens.
Okay.
Yeah.
My prediction is along the same lines. It's not going to be as epic or as drawn out, but I feel like Morgan's going to... No, not what you said. I meant between...
Draw everything out. No, it's fine. It's fine.
No, I feel like Morgan can be the new Shane as far as opposition in ideologies. You know, for Rick. You know, again, I don't know when that's going to start. Because the next episode, it looks like he's let us in, so maybe we're going to see it right away. But knowing where Rick is now, from the very first episode, Rick is all about, you know, I don't take any chances, he's this, and Morgan's like on the other side
covered
of the
fence. Covered in Band-Aids.
Yeah. And there's
so many Band-Aids.
And there's so many references, though, throughout where, like, you can see Morgan has an issue with every little step of the way. He's thinking, he's against everything that's going on. The question is, what's going to happen? Because I know, like you said, something's going to happen with Morgan's decisions and maybe even Rick's, and I feel like the good writing is we're going to probably see why Morgan's right to a degree and we're going to see why Rick is right to a degree, and we're probably, hopefully, if it's, you know, put together well, which they probably will, we'll be confused where do we stand on it.
You know, I think one thing about Rick is that, you know, as stubborn and as kind of like in his own path as he is, he's malleable. He changes. You know what I mean? He can take in what's happening, and it's going to take a little while to get through, but eventually he does have a kind of a breaking point where he realizes something has to change. And I think we're probably going to see that. Yeah, we're going to see. But in the end, Rick, he always does the right thing, doesn't he? You know what I mean? He's always like...
Well, he thinks
he keeps him alive.
He thinks he does. He keeps him alive. He does what needs to be done, and that's why we love him so much.
We are... One thing is, we're six seasons in now,
yeah,
right?
Yep.
That's quite a few.
Yep, like, this is start of the sixth season.
So Sopranos, you know, ends at six seasons. I'm just thinking, you know, what seismic shifts do you do? Because I haven't read the comics.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering, what do you do with a character like...
The audience
like,
loves you right
we'll
now.
Get eight.
Yeah. Yeah, they love me because I don't know.
Way more than eight.
You think?
Yeah.
God, I love you more than eight. I think eight's the money.
If it keeps getting ratings, I think they'll keep this one going.
After
yeah. I mean, I'll still watch, obvi.
I will say spoiler alert and give the vaguest prediction ever that has to do with the comic after I say spoiler after my prediction, just because
okay.
I want to.
Just because you want. Okay.
Well, also, you know more. You know more.
And about yeah. Well, he's read them too. He's just not like me. He doesn't like to talk about it. But
oh no, I did this a season ago and I got screamed at. So I just I learned earlier.
You learned that's all. Okay. I think that Daryl is going to save Rick. I think that
oh totally.
Yeah, I think he's because he's going towards him. So I think he'll.
Well, he turned it around.
And we have gotten no Daryl this season at all.
Daryl switched back to being with.
With Sasha.
With Abraham and Sasha, yeah.
He turned back.
Yeah, he's back with them right now, so he's not with Rick right now.
But he heard the gunshots, remember? Remember he heard them on the radio last episode, and he's driving?
Yeah, but he turned around because he listened to Rick of, keep going, you're doing this for Alexandria, not for me.
But that was before.
I don't know.
That was...
Wasn't it?
I watched it twice, I think, because I think he's driving... And Rick's like, keep going, this is for them, this is not for us, this is to save them. And then he gets attacked and he hears the machine gun. And that's when I think he turns around back.
I could see it being Daryl just because, like, we need to have a huge Daryl, like, moment. And we haven't had one. So that could be a big Daryl moment.
And he's in a vehicle, so he could like, get there and, like, turn around and, like, draw them away. And, like, mm-hmm. Rick could be saved kind of thing.
If someone would, it's going to be Daryl. Daryl's the type, if you look at it,
yeah.
to come in and swoop in.
There's like a couple people on the show that we can like trust that can save Rick, and he's one of them.
Yeah I think that, and then I also think Glenn is alive. He's going to be saved. I think he'll be saved by a new character.
I like when you say saved like that. Sounds like he's going to be saved by Jesus.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah. Well, we already talked about crucifixion on this episode, so.
That's hilariously ironic, but
crucifixion, goat blood, and now
raised Roman
saved.
Catholic. I can make that joke. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah, that's where the goats are from. Exactly, the sacrifice of the blood of the lamb.
So
we got taken to church.
I do. I'm gonna say spoiler alert right now. Let's go. Spoiler.
Earmuffs.
Let's do it.
Spoiler alert. Does it work for you? I have to do it too. I'm sitting right next to you.
Spoiler alert.
All I'll say is the hilarious thing that you just said. There's a character named Jesus in the comics.
Is it Jesus? Surely. They don't really call him Jesus.
It's a nickname. That's okay. And the character I was assuming was going to save Glenn is that character.
Oh, that's really
funny.
Which
is hilariously. But I won't go into that. But
so maybe it's all, they're doing it on purpose.
So in reference to your comment about how many seasons, there's a change that eventually happens in the comic where it like just shifts. It's kind of like what you're talking about. We go with the world we're in to a certain point. It's fairly recent, like in the last 2 years. And it just goes in this new direction. And mm-hmm. I won't even really say much about it other than it's awesome. It's later, and it's just things have evolved. Mm-hmm. And so I think we will eventually get there with the show, which is why I think this show could probably go for like 16 seasons.
Yeah, something like that.
I don't see them ever turning
it. It can be like General Hospital.
It's the most watched drama in the history of cable television, and the ratings just get better every year.
You guys know what I want? I want some Rick romance. I need a little romance in my zombie apocalypse.
Him and Jesse are going for
that's
it before,
what I'm
the, end
for.
Of,
I'm
before
shipping,
the end of the season.
I'm shipping. Is there a ship name for Jesse and Rick?
Oh my God, you ship things?
Oh yeah, of course. I told you I'm on Tumblr. God, what else do you didn't know?
I was on a CW show on this side.
Resi? I don't know. I suck at shipping.
Either way, I want some romance. I'm just going to say it. And not with Coral.
With Coral. Coral. You're talking about me. No, we're definitely going to get
okay, good. I just wanted to put that put that in the pot.
Yeah. Best tweet of the entire night. We read it before we started recording and it was RIP Tabitha. It should have been Carl.
Yeah.
Poor Carl.
And he hasn't even been that annoying this season, but still.
He's not annoying this season.
No.
He was before.
Not at all.
Still can't stay in the goddamn house though.
No. Yeah, and there's going to be some of that, like, teen... Like, there's going to be more
teen
of, like...
Teen angst.
Teen angst that's coming up, yeah.
With the girl
You're dating
JSS.
Her and me, yeah. But I want her, but you want
with
her.
With Ron and Carl.
Ugh.
These names.
Come
Ron
in.
Ron and Carl.
No. No.
Have you talked that way? Have you seen Biff today? Where's Buzz? Like, those names.
Yeah, we're like old school names.
Yeah. All right, guys, that's going to do it for the show today. So if the folks want to find you lovely hosts, you wonderful people, where can they find you? Let's tell us one more time.
Yes, you guys can find me on Twitter at QuinnSkillian. You can find me on Instagram at Quinstagram. And you can search for me on Vine at the QuinnBee.
It's a good name on Quinstagram.
Thank you.
Very good.
Hello, Sean Nategi. You can find me at Sean Nategi, SeanNategi on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Instagram, you'll see videos of me doing like martial arts and cool stuff, including movie stuff.
Check out his movie, by the way.
Check out the movie if you want to see the movie.
at the John Carl on both Twitter and Instagram. I drink. I don't do martial arts. And at Whiskey and Waffles, just Whiskey and Waffles on YouTube.
I don't do martial arts and I drink.
so oh, we're on the same page. Yeah.
My name's Ben Bateman. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at Ben Bateman Media, and I love doing this show, and I'll see you guys again next week to do this show again. And this was awesome. Thanks so much for doing this.
Thanks for having me. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for coming.
Yeah. Bye, guys.
Oh, thanks for having me, too. I was a guest. Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.